The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on Wednesday afternoon. Great show so far, and we look forward to continuing with some very special guests here. Let's get back to our calls. And Robert is in Auburn. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you, Paul?
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Why is Hugh Freeze being looked over? I mean, look at his record against Saban. Why would you not go get Hugh Freeze?
Well, I don't have any argument with his record against Nick Saban. My argument with Hugh Freeze is what happened to him at Ole Miss. And listen, I think Hugh Freeze is a good coach. He very well may end up being the next Auburn coach. Thanks for the call. Speaking of the Auburn job, we want to bring on Roy Johnson, who is a distinguished journalist. He wrote a piece today in AL.com. Surprise me, Auburn hire the man before the Iron Bowl. Roy Johnson is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. He's a Pulitzer finalist. He has a incredible career writing for many publications, including the New York Times. He was once the editor-at-large at Fortune and an assistant managing editor at Sports Illustrated. He's also a New York Times best-selling author. He did a number of books, one with Magic Johnson and a very famous book with Charles Barkley. Roy, it's been way too long. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for the time.
Absolutely. Paul, I missed you. It's a great time to be here. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else.
Well, thank you for being here. I got the notification on your column today, and I read it. Then I shared it with my friend Jamari here, and we were both really impressed. First of all, it did not read like your normal column. It almost read, I thought, like a sermon to lead Auburn to make the decision to hire Carnell Williams. I'll get out of your way, but I do want to hear your thought process.
Well, Paul, this has been a fascinating thing to observe. As you alluded to, I've been a journalist for more than four decades, most of it covering sports, seen some fascinating stories from the front row and covered many of them, but I have never seen anything really as compelling as this. When they first hired him as the interim, some folks celebrated, oh, it was the first black coach at Auburn. I stayed out of it and said, look, it's interim, it's great, give him a great opportunity. But I stayed out of the way and allowed my colleagues and others to cover it. And as I watched it unfold, I was like, wow, this young man, he's 40 years old, is doing something that nobody expected. Right now, I think Auburn officials are sweating bullets because something occurred that they did not foresee, and that is the almost immediate fixing of a culture. The Auburn culture was broken, and this young man, who is Auburn, has come in and not just put a Band-Aid on it. He did major surgery and brought back something that I haven't seen at Auburn in years. So right now, he is Auburn. I made the point that he came in, he fixed the culture. He made these young men believe not just in themselves, but in their teammates, in their coaches, in a way that Auburn fans hadn't seen in years. And he did it by being the epitome of what Auburn is. When he says, this is Auburn football, you believe it. When he came in and changed the offense, he may not be writing up all the X's and O's, but he said, we're going to run the ball. We're going to make people fight or quit, and that's Auburn football. You believe it because he is Auburn football. And the other night when he was speaking and someone asked him what it would be like if he weren't given the opportunity to be head coach, when he said, my seat does not dictate my service, Paul, I almost got up out of my seat like I was at church on Sunday. That is a line. That line is biblical. My seat does not dictate my service. This man has filled a stadium when there were last place teams playing. He has revived a student section that really was almost non-existent for the entire season. He's brought back former players. The way that sideline was buzzing with former players who wanted to be there, who wanted to support him, is something that this system that Auburn has not seen in years. Look, it can be easy to go out and hire another coach. It would be the expected thing to do. I called it like playing the chalk. You know, just go with the favorite. But why? And then, you know, maybe say we're going to keep him as a co-offensive coordinator. We'll pay him some money. We'll groom him. Why groom him for next when you've got now? You've got a very special moment in time where someone has come in and proven that they know this culture more than any other coach who could come in. He is the culture. He could walk into another coach might walk into a recruit's living room and try to persuade mom that, you know, I can take care of your son. Carnell Williams can look at that mom and say, I am your son, or I was your son. And that, look at me now. Look at what I was able to do, not just at Auburn, but with my career. And now as a coach, I am your son. That's something no other coach is going to be able to do. So, yes, obviously there are coaches out there, and a lot of names have been bandied about, and you know who they are, that are more credentialed. But sometimes I think people forget Lane Kiffin was offered the head coaching job of the Oakland Raiders at the age of 31 when he had never been a head coach before. Everyone gets their start. Somebody takes a chance on everyone. And right now, Auburn officials have to be looking at this. And the light had to be shined on this to say, look, this is a unique opportunity to bring in someone who knows your program, who lives and breathes your program, who has proven they can elevate the program, who can get young men to believe in themselves, to play harder and better. They are one possession away from being 3-0. And while it's not fair to judge based on wins and losses, judge what an interim coach does on wins and losses, they're one possession away from being 3-0. But more importantly, he has revived a culture that was broken and all but dead in a way that has not happened in years.
We are talking to Roy Johnson about a column that's reverberating around the sports and college football world today. Roy, you mentioned in this article, and you alluded to Lane Kiffin a minute ago. You said, go ahead and stop slobbering over Kiffin as if he's the antidote to the guy in Tuscaloosa. Expound on that.
The belief here is that Auburn is looking for something to counter Saban, counter him in recruiting, counter him in visibility. It's almost like we want people to notice us. That is not how you go out and make any hire. I use the analogy of a relationship. You don't go pick a spouse based on what your rival has married. You do not go pick your boyfriend or girlfriend based on what your rival has chosen. You do what's best for you. You do what's best for your family. Any business will tell you, play your game. Don't make your strategy decisions based on your competition. So to be so fixated on Saban and to try to bring in someone who can grab attention away from him, who can out-recruit him or whatever it is, I think that is just misplaced motivation. The motivation should be, what is best for Auburn? How do we rebuild this brand, this team, and create the kind of culture that represents who we are rather than building it based on what someone else is doing?
Roy, you mentioned the race part of this, and I'm glad you said what you did, because I think if you're the interim, and I want you to answer the question, it's a moment, but it's not the real thing. Pick up on that for a second. And what would it mean? You're not hiring a coach based on his race, but it still would be a great moment, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. And as I alluded to, when he was named interim, there were many African-American fans who celebrated that. And not to take anything away from that, but I was not in that circle because I said, as an interim, you don't really have the job yet. It was a significant thing for Auburn, and it's I would say uneven racial history. I mean, that would probably be nice when it comes to the institution as a whole. So it was a good moment for them. They probably perceived it as a nice feel-good thing, totally unexpecting what would happen. He has never mentioned any of this, but it is clear that African-American fans, former players, are passionately rooting for him and supporting him. And not just them. They're white fans of all races, of all faiths, who are rooting for him. But you can't take that element away from it. And how significant would it be for this institution, with its history, to hire one of its own, to say, look, this is not just a person who represents us, part of our family. This is something that we've never done before, and we're doing it for the right reasons. We're doing it because we believe in him. We're doing it because he knows us better than anyone else. He's doing it to represent the fact that our family is now multifaceted, and we're recognizing and supporting him as a member of the family. That would be a phenomenal thing for Auburn, not just Auburn Athletics, but Auburn as a university. And I believe that fans, many, many different types of fans, would get behind that and celebrate that.
Roy, you mentioned Kiffin, and you know, whether it's Kiffin or, you know, Hugh Freeze. I mean, they both had enormous baggage. We want to look past that, but Carnell Williams doesn't. Except, and here's what some will say: we don't. I'm going to play the fan for a second. We don't know if he's really going to. We've seen him in three or four games, lightning in a bottle, whatever cliche. But how do we know? How do we know he's really capable of doing the job? I want you to answer that.
I would challenge anyone who says that to go back and just look and see how he addresses his players and how they look at him. So what you do know is that he can motivate young men. What you do know is that the family is behind them. The family, ranging from people in the student section to seasoned ticket holders and supporters. I know longtime Auburn fans who are in their 80s who have said, wow, okay, I didn't see this coming, but you know what? Give him a shot. He's one of ours. So rather than focusing on what you don't know, focus on what you do know. And let's see if he can walk into that living room and begin to recruit a higher caliber of talent than maybe has been recruited in the last few years. Support him to build a staff that fills in the gaps. One of the things I often say in life is know what you don't know. I believe Carnell Williams knows what he doesn't know, and I know that because I've talked with former players, some who are ministers, some who are business leaders, and he's been on the phone calling them and asking them how to handle certain situations. So this is a man who is not so full of himself that he won't ask for help. He has reached out and asked people for advice and counsel. To support him, give him enough resources, enough money to bring in someone who's maybe a former head coach who has walked in those CEO circles. Every CEO had to be a CEO for the first time. So rather than focusing on what you don't know, focus on what you do know. And you do know he's part of the family. You do know he can motivate young men. You do know that the fan base is behind him. Those are a lot of good things that a lot of other coaches don't. You may know their record. You may know where they've worked. But those are things that you know about Carnell Williams that you don't know about those other coaches.
What a compelling column and conversation. The name of the headline of the column is "Surprise Me, Auburn Hire the Man Before the Iron Bowl," Roy Johnson. Roy, many, many thanks. You've given a lot of us something to think about, and especially the people that run Auburn University. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Paul. And one last thing. The reason I said before the Super Bowl is that can you imagine if a tweet or an Instagram post was dropped on Friday morning that simply said, please say hello to Auburn's new head coach, Carnell Williams, and how that would motivate that fan base, those players in the locker room. I mean, surely they're big underdogs going into Tuscaloosa, but just imagine what that would do to the Auburn family to see that before the Iron Bowl and the impact that it would have on galvanizing a team that just a few weeks ago was all but dead. So that's the reason I said do it before the Iron Bowl. But right now they're sweating trying to figure out what are they going to do about this phenomenon.
What a joy to have you. Happy Thanksgiving, Roy. Hope to see you soon. Thanks so much.
Same to you. Thank you.
Wow, that was, I mean, I was mesmerized by that conversation. Whether you agree or disagree, that That's up to you. It was certainly compelling. One of the outstanding sports columnists and columnists in the state. He's actually a general columnist. Roy Johnson writing in AL.com. Surprised me. Auburn, hire the man before the Iron Bowl. We'll get your reaction to that after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. I'm still shaking my head over the conversation with Roy Johnson. I've given some of these cliche answers of when people say, well, why not Cadillac? But I have to say he made the strongest argument to date about why Auburn should hire Cadillac Williams. Let's check in with Augie next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving.
What up,
and,
Augie?
You're already trending on Twitter, Paul. Something you said today on the radio is trending all over
Twitter.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. What?
And it involves your dog.
Oh.
And a certain sports personality.
Oh, I did say that. It was just for those who don't know what we're talking about, my dog, I was doing a get-up with Mike Greenberg earlier, and he just started talking about Jim Harbaugh. And my dog started barking from down below. They wanted the dog on camera, but I couldn't get the dog upstairs fast enough.
Well, I don't know if you know it, Paul, but Harbaugh has a pet finger monkey. It's this little small monkey. And he's put a retort on Twitter about what he's taught that monkey to do to you. So
Okay, well,
just watch yourself, okay?
I've tried to watch my tongue this week with Jim Harbaugh.
Well, you know, Harbaugh may have the last laugh. You
he might. And if he does, he's going to do it without any goat fuel from me.
Well, I think you've given him enough already today. But, Paul, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so there are a lot of things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for Bill O'Brien and Pete Golden.
especially Golden.
Yeah, I love him. He's a great guy. I hope they keep him forever, give him a big raise. I'm also thankful to South Carolina that they decided to play football last weekend. Very thankful for that. And I think Fred from Plano said it, and you agreed, we better be careful Saturday because this is going to be A&M's year wrapped into one game. Do you not think?
I agree with you. I don't even know what the line is, but I think it's got upset alert written all over it.
I mean, look at it. A&M almost beat Bama, so they're capable of playing football. Now, some may say Bama didn't play a good game, but nevertheless,
no, it's literally an entire season. And if you're Jimbo Fisher and you win the game, you at least have something to wrap your arms around. And by the way, it also just absolutely obliterates the SEC championship game.
It absolutely does, because even if we beat Georgia after that, there's no way we're
no,
getting
you're not
in.
Getting
but
in.
I do love all the West Coasters who are already pitching SEC bias because USC is ranked behind us. But the bottom line is, this is all going to be settled in the next 2 weeks. It might be settled by Saturday if we get beat, which I hope BK has these guys on alert, because, you know, that Arkansas game was way too close for comfort. But, Paul, I thought the guy, your last guest, all the points he made for hiring Cadillac were also all the points for not hiring Cadillac. I mean, he pointed out that, well, Lane Kiffin was the youngest NFL coach at Oakland. That's where he got his experience. But look how that worked out. That's like saying my first open heart surgery was botched and I killed my patient. That was not a good example.
Yeah, by the way, you gave it your best shot. We lost a patient, but don't let that dissuade you.
No worry, ma'am. Your husband died, but I gained a lot of experience for the next guy that I'm going to operate on. And the other part about, well, he can recruit, he can talk to, isn't he doing that now? Isn't he actually doing that now? But, I mean, it sounded to me like, regardless of what people say, that biological reasons are a big motivating factor for Cadillac. And I love the guy. I think he's great. But is that not an insult to a guy who is of the same racial group but has proven he can win at a college? And that's Deion. Why are we not talking about him?
But Augie, first of all, Deion has to be a contender for the job, which I don't think he is, unless.
Why isn't he?
I have no idea. I am not doing the coaching search, but people that believe to know what they're talking about, and I don't know. I have no earthly idea what they're going to do down there. Don't believe he's either not part of it for one of two reasons. They called his agent and said, "Are you interested?" And he said, "No." Or he said yes, and they don't want him. So, yeah, I mean, if he was interested and they don't want him, then I think we have a conversation here.
Well, I still say that he has taken the steps. He's coached at a college. People may say, well, it's Jackson State. It's not a real – yeah, it is. It's a real college. He's turned that program around. He wasn't an alumni of that school. But he turned it around, and he won. And he instituted not just a culture but a program. And he's – Cadillac hasn't done that anywhere. He's won. He's played, coached three games, all on emotion. Do you really think he's got the organizational skills right now, without any demonstration at another place,
Augie, the answer is the answer is no. I don't, because I don't think anybody could, being dropped into a situation like this. Can he get good people around him? As Roy Johnson pointed out, yes. Can he go out? The first thing he has to do when the season ends on Saturday is go out and recruit. I have no doubt he can do that. He's already done that now for 4 years for Auburn. And then it's a learning curve, just like it is for any first-year coach.
Yeah, but, Paul, who would hire a CEO with absolutely no experience managing an organization or a large department within an organization cold turkey? I mean, would Nick Saban, he's not a figurehead. The guy's involved in everything. He's a technical expert in every matter that goes on there, although he can't coach everything. I just don't see that happening with Cadillac.
Hey, by the way, did Juwan Howard have any coaching experience when he became the head coach at Michigan?
I don't follow basketball.
Done a good job.
Tell you that.
He really has.
Well, okay. I hope they hire him, because I don't want Auburn to be competitive. But I think they better be careful. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I didn't mean to, you know, throw you a curveball there, but there are a lot of guys who have gotten their first head coaching jobs and have done quite well. I mean, it is a unique situation, and yeah, emotion has a lot to do with it. But if you're Auburn, you go, well, is Lane Kiffin a safer choice? Just ask him. He's never gone down in flames before, has he?
No.
We'll take a break.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple.
Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. James is up next in Georgia. Hey, James, good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon to you, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I was wanting to talk about Cadillac. He's got
sure.
James more experience than Kirby had when he got his job.
You're right. Kirby did not have any head coaching experience.
But Kirby ain't done too bad as a first-time head coach.
He's done great. There have been a lot of first-time head coaches that have done quite well. Barry Switzer won a couple of national championships.
Shout out to my buddy John Chandler, who listens to you all the time. You have a good day, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you, John, for listening. I appreciate it very, very much. Legend is up next.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Legend.
Hope you have a big turkey tomorrow, man. Hope you have a big fixing, the big dressing. What's your favorite part of the meal, Paul, on Thanksgiving?
My favorite part is actually the dressing.
Yeah, that's me too, brother. I love some dressing, cutting that turkey up in there, pouring a little gravy on it, getting your cranberries crushed up in there. Woo!
Hey, Legend, I forgot to ask you, what time are we supposed to be over at your place tomorrow?
Anytime, brother. I start early.
Okay. You're coming, aren't you, Randy?
Yeah, anytime.
We're taking the lame train to Legend's house.
The lame train. It's going to arrive. I'm just sitting back waiting on that Kevin Steele announcement.
Auburn has hired Kevin Steele to be its new head coach.
I'm going to screw it up.
They're going to screw it up.
Hey, Paul, we always have fun, man. You know we love you, man. We appreciate you. You know, you mean so much to us. I ain't got to say it. Everybody else says it, but it's good to hear, man, how much you mean to us. The show is always fun, and we love you, dude. And in honor of Turkey Day and having fun on the show, I'd like to announce the Paul Feinbaum 2022 Turkey of the Year.
Who you got?
Yes, the Paul Feinbaum Turkey of the Year. And the candidates are, Paul, the first candidate is out of Louisiana. Took him 8 years to finish paralegal school. His friends call him that moron that lives in the broom closet that thinks he's an attorney. Yes, the first candidate for Turkey of the Year, Augie from Louisiana. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. And the second candidate, yes, the second candidate for Turkey of the Year. He started the season challenging the GOAT, but ended up coaching like a crackhead on some bad dope. Yes, we're talking Jimbo Fisher, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the second candidate for Turkey of the Year is Jimbo Fisher. And this third candidate, he's out of Tuscaloosa. He has made Tuscaloosa unfamous. His friends call him that idiot that escaped from the psych ward years ago that they never went back and got. We know him as the Joe Biden of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Jim from Tuscaloosa, ladies and gentlemen, is the third candidate. And the final candidate for Turkey of the Year, the Paul Feinbaum 2022 Turkey of the Year, the fake jewelry man himself. The man at 18 who robbed the fake jewelry store and went to jail for 14 days. You know him, ladies and gentlemen, as Bama hater J.K. J.K. is up for Turkey of the Year. Those are the four candidates, Paul. Drum roll, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2022 Paul Feinbaum Turkey of the Year, Jimbo Fisher. Yes, Dumbo Fisher, you are officially the Paul Feinbaum 2022 Turkey of the Year. There's never been a bigger gobbler than you, Dumbo Fisher. You came up gobbling, talking about how great you were. But now, this past weekend, you finally got a win over some strange team, UMass, or somebody to break your seven-game losing streak. You are officially the 2022 Paul Feinbaum Gobbler Turkey of the Year. It was a close race, Paul. Jim was a close second. Jim almost finally won that championship that he hasn't gotten all these years. Congratulations, Jim, for coming in second. I love you, too. Have a great Thanksgiving. Love Feinbaum Nation. Love all the fans. Y'all be safe. And remember, Elvis loves you, baby. And I have left the building. Woo!
Daryl is up next.
Well, I would have to put Nick Saban as Turkey of the Year. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, preseason ranked number one. You know, Heisman quarterback, best college defensive player in the country. Georgia was a one-hit wonder comparing them to Auburn. And look where they're at. You know what I mean? Look where they're at. Saturday, November. Legend, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Eat a lot. Because you're going to have plenty of time to kick back on that sofa. You know what I mean? And watch football. Paul, I am also, though, I would agree with Legend. I am also thankful for Paul Feinbaum. But I'm most thankful for Alabama for giving me Kirby Smart. You hear me? I mean, Paul, look at one thing I will say about Georgia, okay, that I love about Kirby Smart is the fact that this team they have this year, we can beat you both ways. We can beat you throwing the football. We can beat you by running the football and just playing defense. But what I love about it is that this team doesn't expose their plays. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't defend something that you haven't seen, right? I don't even think we've opened up the playbook, maybe a little bit for Tennessee. But other than that, that's it. We've been very vanilla. Because there's going to be bigger fish to fry down the road. It's like a chess match. I mean, you go out there and run the score up if you want to, show your entire playbook, or you just get by, and then when it matters, then you show them something they haven't ever seen. Now, I want to ask you something about Lane Kiffin. First of all, what's the percentage you think Lane Kiffin is going to become the new coach for Auburn?
When?
No, what percentage would you say Lane Kiffin?
I think it's more than 50%.
The only thing I say about that is, what kind of message is he sending to the players that he recruited at Ole Miss? I mean, down the road, he go to Auburn. You know, you're in somebody's home, talk to a kid, try to sell the program, and you're known for up and leaving like that. I think it would be better for Hugh Freeze, because Hugh Freeze can leave and coach Carolina. It would make probably a little bit more sense. I mean, I think that right there would go against Lane Kiffin big time. We'll see how I plan to have those out. Paul.
Didn't really hurt Lincoln Riley when he took his whole team with him.
They're trying to make a 4-team playoff. And the next minute, they want Nick Saban to fire the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. I mean, which one is it going to be? It's got to be one or the other. You know what I mean? You can't want to make the 4-team playoffs just like you got a chance, which you don't. And then want to fire the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Which side are they going to stand on, Paul? The problem is, you know what, here's the problem, Alabama fans, okay? You got outcoached in the LSU game, knowing all that was on the line, your season on the brink, you cannot get that second loss. Your coach decided to go for an extra point, and all that did was set LSU up now for the knockout and go for the two-point conversion. Saban got outcoached. He should have went for the two-point conversion. I got one more thing I want to say. We got Michigan-Ohio State coming up, right? Huge game. Every time they play, I am reminded, Paul, I love it. I am reminded of their greatest one-liner ever in college football, Woody Hayes blowing Michigan out up 40-something, throwing a touchdown late in the fourth quarter with a 40-point lead, and then going for two, and they asking him after the game, why did he go for two? He said, I couldn't go for three. That is an all-time classic. Go Dawgs.
And that is Daryl's call on this Thanksgiving Eve. We will be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Griff will join us top of the hour. Steve is in Birmingham, and you are next up. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Listen, Let me tell you why you hire Carnell before the Iron Bowl. Because after they beat Auburn 3 or 4 touchdowns, you're sure not going to hire him. And we wouldn't even be having this conversation if our last two games were not against Texas A&M and Western Kentucky. If we'd played Georgia and LSU, for example, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. That's not what I called about, but I just wanted to respond to the gentleman. What I called about was, it just dawned on me, I've been listening to you for over 40 years, and it's kind of shocked me. Back in 1982, when you were writing for the Post-Herald, I was reading your articles every day at work. Then I started listening to you on ERC.
Yep.
Broadcast. And, boy, you used to make me so mad talking about Pat Dye and Terry Bowden, and I'd get so upset. And then you come out with a show called The Frightening Football Forecast with Feinbaum, Forney, and Fife.
Right.
And you won me over. You won me over because that was the best sports program I've ever heard. Listening to you and Jim Fife and John Forney laugh at one another, that was the one of the greatest. I've never missed one of them shows on Saturday morning.
Hey, I'll tell you a funny story, Steve. That was probably the most fun I've ever had. Jim Fife was the legendary voice of the Auburn Tigers, and John was the voice of the Crimson Tide, and we did the show every week. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 1990, whatever. I actually quit the radio station I was at to go to another station. It was in late September, early October when my contract ran out. And the general manager called me the next day. He said, "I need to see you." I said, "Listen, I've quit." He said, "No, I need to." He said, "Please." And he said, "Listen, I realize you've quit. And but will you continue doing that show with Fife and Forney? We've sold it to like 30 or 40 stations." So I agreed to do it. He then allowed me to get out of the contract earlier. There was like a non-compete or something. But he cared more about that than whether I worked for him.
Paul, let me ask you a question before I go. Do you think that the problem at Ole Miss and Tennessee and how they have fell apart right here at the end is because these offensive gurus like Tennessee's coach and Lane Kiffin are all about offense and they don't get good defensive coordinators or they don't really get the best defensive players in there. They try to load themselves up with too many offensive people. What do you think?
I think there could be something to it. I also think when you're a high explosive offensive team, by the end of the season, the defenses have figured it out a little bit better than maybe they have early on. I think in Tennessee's case, Georgia just had a much better defensive plan than Alabama did. I mean, I don't know how long Nick Saban will coach at Alabama, but I would love to know what he was thinking in that game.
Well, I don't understand. You know, they still stayed in the game with Georgia, but South Carolina put 63 points on them.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I think that's one of the that's a complete anomaly. I don't think that could happen. I mean, by the way, the South Carolina offensive coordinator, what I heard over the weekend in Columbia, was on the verge of being run out of there. And
that's what I understand.
And then he comes up with the game plan of his life.
They looked terrible all year, and then to watch Arkansas run that ball, it looked like Ole Miss's players were just standing around. I've never seen anything like that, and it's just very confusing.
I think Kiffin did a really poor job of getting his team over the Alabama loss, and you hear that cliche all the time about, listen, don't lose two games because you lost one, and I think he did. And hey, thank you very much for being with me all these years. I didn't realize I'd been around that long. Actually, I did. I have a monitor here. I can see myself. We have another hour to go. Speaking of scary sights, Mike Griffith will join us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.